Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. This is Nazim Rashid, Nazim Abdul Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be Mentored to Your Child Self. I am the host today, and I think email Alfred Muhammad for allowing me to have this spot on his show, actually, Religion Means Live, to talk about the various benefits of my book, Reconnected, How to Be Mentor to Your Child Self. Right now, those who heard me last week heard the beginning of a new series called Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Now, you regulars who've heard me from the beginning heard my series on addiction and recovery. Now, I did a long one, like 25 or 26 installments on marriages. Now we're doing conscious parenting and personal growth. So why conscious parenting and personal growth? Why the two together? Because if you're a conscious parent, you want to instill the best personal growth into the child. You want to make sure they feel good about themselves and connected themselves to their higher self and to God. Yes. Yes. Very, very important. Even though your sisters, you know, you have this bond with your children. You gave birth to them. You went through the 9 months or so of pregnancy. You got this bond. But remember, your children are not your children. What are you talking about? God has entrusted you, yes, with the job of managing and caring and being the parent for the child, the caretaker, yes. Children belong to God, and he's entrusted you to take care of this child and to let them know where they came from and have a connection to their source, to God. When you look at the title, Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth, we want to instill the best in our children. Now, you can't give what you don't have. So that's the personal growth part. So part of this series is to being the best yourself, connecting to God yourself, connecting to the highest part of yourself, yourself. Not letting your lower self guide you and mentor you. Okay? So when you connect yourself, when you are the best yourself, when your self-esteem is high, your self-image is high, you believe and accept optimism as being your creed, then you can give that to your children. Most of us came from broken homes, broken mindsets, broken situations in our childhood. And so we have children, if we haven't reconciled those issues, you pass on brokenness to your children. If violence was a part of your childhood, even though you consciously do not like that, on one level or another, you accepted that as being normal, and you either inflicted violence or you accepted violence into your life, and you passed that unconsciously to your children. So this is what our intention is to break that cycle. Accept only that which is good, that which is life-giving, that which is health-promoting. And feel it in your being. Internalize these concepts as being the only concept you're going to live by, and you pass that on. So it's about growth, not only for your children, it's for you. So that's why I go back and forth with the personal growth and the parenting part, because it's important that we live the best lives possible. That's what my book, Reconnected, How to Be Mentor to Your Child Self, is all about. Okay? You can go on Barnes & Noble. Amazon has this. This on ebook. If you have a Amazon or a Kindle, my website, after the three W's, we have cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Go there. I just updated it today. And you'll see a lot of good things there, you know? So have fun there and order the book. I'll autograph it and send it to you myself, okay? My email for your feedback, nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your feedback, okay? All right. So we left off last week talking about self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, self-esteem. Very, very important. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year. Now, I want everybody to see the best for the new year for yourself and for your loved ones, children, your family, husband, wife. Envision the best. Forget about what happened yesterday or last year. That's gone. 2015 is your new reality, and that's the reality you're claiming as being the best year possible. Yes. Best relationships. Best opportunities. Huh? Exactly. Yeah, don't hold on to that which does not work for you. If you had an addiction, put that in the past. Hold on to a clean, sober, and productive life for 2015, all right? Yeah, claim the best, and you'll have the best. Very, very important, all right? Now, last week, we talked about affirmations. We need to change our self-talk. And as you change your self-talk, it's important that your loved ones hear you with your positive self-talk, with your new improved self-talk. And they will start doing the same thing. They mimic you. I know you know that already. Good and bad. They mimic everything you do. All right? Very important. So mimic the best. Show the best. Yeah. And I talked about mirror work last week. I ended with that. Don't be afraid of the mirror. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, it might be a challenge for some of you to look at the mirror, yeah, and say the affirmations. And often it is because there is an absence of self-love. If you don't love yourself, you don't feel comfortable looking at yourself with full approval and gratitude to God for producing you. Ah, give God some credit here. He created you. Find a mirror and look at yourself right now. I'll stretch your arms very wide and smile and say, if your name is, Jahari, say, Jahari, I love you. I really love you. I approve and support you. I'm here for you. How did that feel? And many of you, I bet, have some eerie vibes while doing this. Mm-hmm. You know who you are. For some of you, you couldn't say the word approve, isn't that right? Or was it the word love? If you had a problem saying the words love and or approve, then you know where you need to start. Everything you say in that mirror is directed to your inner child. And your inner child needs love and approval from you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's one about Louise Hayes. I love Louise Hayes. Affirmations on self-love. I love and accept myself. Deep in the center of me flows an infinite wellspring of love. Love fills my whole being and radiates out from me in all directions, returning to me multiplied. I give and receive more love every day, and the supply is endless. All right. I wrote a song, matter of fact, if you go to my show, The Reconnected Show, I have on Saturdays, and I always have a theme song called Clouds of Abundance. Yeah, like my website, Clouds of Abundance. Here are the words to that song here. It's very apropos here. Clouds of Abundance, keep on following me. I have known this for a while. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was born with a promised destiny. That is why I wear this smile. Okay. Are you clapping? Clouds of abundance keep on following me. Mm-hmm. I see the people stop and stare. Okay. Mm-hmm. All around me is more prosperity. There's no room for despair. Mm-hmm. Clouds of abundance keep on following me. I do feel I'm in the flow. Mm-hmm. Just believe in your possibilities, and that is how your life will go. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. You know that you deserve this too. Look deep within and you'll see just what I see. There is abundance right there for you. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me, even though you might hit the wall. Look beyond your present difficulties and move on faith and never stall. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I know that you want this too. Just believe in divine authority and the blessings will be there for you. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I have to share and keep on giving. The more I receive, there's more in charity. That's the way that I'm living. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. All the doctors say I passed the tests. My health is vibrant. I'm full of energy. I will only receive the best. All right. It was not a rap tune. Clouds of abundance. Okay. All right. Yeah, very good. And you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, which is the link for my Saturday show. And click on any of the shows and you'll hear that. In the beginning, you hear that with all the music in there and have my cousin singing the lead. Yeah, very good. All right. Affirmations are powerful tools to use on a daily basis. They represent where you want to be, not where you are. Affirmations pull you in the direction of your goals by affirming what is already inside you. Affirmations can and will, if internalized, raise your self-esteem and self-image. Your value and standards have increased because you are now believing something different from what you were believing before. You see, once your belief changes, your life changes. The energy that you project changes, and then your environment changes. That's right. Think about how you would feel with your environment changing. People, you know, are having different conversations around you. Huh? And pass that knowledge on to your little ones. Yeah. You're going to tell your little one these high self-esteem making statements. Tell them, you know, how you feel about them, their potentials, possibilities, and probabilities. When you interact with the little ones, you're going to express to him or her how they make you feel when they are displaying the greatness of their own genius within. Just telling your little one that you love them will have tremendous results all by itself. Try saying that to your reflection in the mirror and see what feelings are stirred up within. See, children need to be around adults who naturally express their feelings of health and wellness. They learn by the examples they see in their immediate environment. When they see you expressing joy and happiness in hearing of someone else's accomplishments, they in turn will do the same when someone they know tells them of something good that they have done. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, Dr. Dennis Whately, another guy I study in his personal development field. Oh, yeah. In his book entitled The Psychology of Winning, states that when we recognize our own uniqueness, we develop our own high standards. He says, though they recognize the universality of fear and anxiety, winners don't give in to these emotions. Accept yourself as you are right now, an imperfect, changing, growing, worthwhile person. Realize that liking yourself and feeling that you're a super individual in your special way is not necessarily egotistical. No. Enjoy the unique person that you are just in being alive right now. Understand the truth that although we as individuals are not born with equal physical and mental attributes, we are born with the equal right to feel the excitement and joy in believing that we deserve the very best in life. Most successful people imagine and believe in their own worth, even when they have nothing but a dream to hold on to. Isn't that something? Dennis Waitley. Dr. Dennis Waitley. Okay. All right. Now, you have to be sometimes your own cheerleading squad. Think about this. Use your imagination. Y'all can do this. Just imagine a bunch of you in the mirror when you first wake up and go into your bathroom. Yeah. Just smiling at you and cheering you on. Oh, yeah. They're saying, "Hey, handsome," or whatever fits for you. "You look great this morning. You look like you are about to close a $1 million deal today. You are awesome. You are fantastic. You are getting better and better each day, and it is a blessing to witness it right before our eyes. Your life is going great, just as you have been envisioning it to be. You have money coming from different channels. Oh, yeah. You have a wife or husband that is just what you need in terms of support and partnership. You have a clientele base that is developing at skyrocketing rates because of your insight, training, mentoring, and decision-making skills. Your short and long-term goals are right on track. Your books are published, popular and best-selling. Your songs are produced and recorded by major artists, resulting in hits and royalties. You are financially independent, not needing to trade hours for dollars anymore with anyone. Just imagining that should cause some good feelings. Self-esteem is also knowing that you can influence some kind of change in your environment. Yeah. This feeling adds to your self-worth and gives your life more meaning. You need to know that you can make something change around you. You need to know that you have some kind of gift, talent, or answer that the world is needing. You do have the ability to deliver this message, and you know that this message will create needed changes that somebody will appreciate. There have been cases in suicide counseling where clients have stated that they felt that nothing they did or could do would make any difference in any respect. They felt their life was meaningless. No one would miss them if they were gone. They have no connection to life itself and no answer as to why they are existing. It is important to know that there will be some kind of reaction to your action. Now, how many parents know what self-esteem really is? How many parents are making sure that their children have high self-esteem and that they feel worthy? How many parents are lacking self-esteem themselves and are therefore unable to give what they do not have? Does this fit anybody out there? On the other hand, how many parents are harboring self-hate on one level or another and thus passing that attribute to their offspring? Did y'all hear that one? A lot of us have issues with self-hate. I'm passed on from generation to generation. And we need to stop the cycle. Stop it. You know, your parents had a certain kind of broken philosophy that didn't work for them. Their parents had a certain kind of broken philosophy that didn't work for them either. Huh? It's like having your hand on the stove. Why is your hand on the stove? Well, my mother had her hand on the stove, so I guess I should put my hand on the stove too. That's what they did, so I guess that's what I have to do. Why she do it? Well, her mother had her hand on the stove too, you know. So I guess that's what we have to do in this family. That's our family tradition, you know. Even though we don't like the smell or the feel, that's our tradition. Well, 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 that can be broken. Self-esteem can also be understood as the accepted standard or custom of the group dynamic. Now, this is according to noted author Carolyn Miss. Yeah, let's say that a particular group characterizes this self-esteem with a belief system that, now hear this, a higher education is not for them. Children are not allowed to have their own opinion outside the group's opinion. The standard clothing style reflects a meager existence. The colors they wear are relegated to black, gray, white, and beige. Now, this cultural norm could pose a problem for those children who thought outside that box. Furthermore, if a child comes along and challenges the norm by pursuing a college program or wearing bright colors, reflecting how they really feel, it would become problematic. If that same child expressed him or herself in a self-confident manner, he or she would be labeled in a very negative way. They might be labeled as a troublemaker, agitator, worldly person, rebel, instigator, and sometimes ostracized, kicked out. They could also be made to feel bad for expressing themselves at all. Yeah, so ask yourselves, in your household, is it comfortable, or do you make your children feel comfortable in expressing themselves? Or do you quiet them down as soon as they express themselves? Or do you tell them to shut up, go away? You don't want to hear it. Yeah. Okay. Our self-esteem is tied in a major way to the group's definition of self-esteem. Our self-esteem is tied in a major way to the group's definition. Yeah. The self-esteem is also the value attached to the particular group. When someone within the group starts acting differently, that action is reflected on the perceived value of the group. Too many cases cannot be tolerated. They say, for the group's sake, this kid has to pay the price of his or her obstinance. Carolyn Miss discusses this group dynamic in her series called Self-Esteem, Your Fundamental Power. Yeah. In ancient mythological and old tribal stories, we hear of someone in the group needing to be sacrificed. Yeah, sacrificed. Why is this necessary? Because, one, that person acted outside the group's cultural norms, or two, the custom dictates that periodically someone just has to be sacrificed. The point is made real clear that to act outside what is acceptable means death. This fear tactic is a controlling mechanism used to ensure that the custom, standard, culture, or group's theme is maintained and not challenged. Suppose little Bobby, okay? Little Bobby is tearfully telling mommy that Uncle Ned touched him in his private parts and made him hurt there and said not to tell anyone. Unfortunately, mommy is more tied to the group's standards and feelings than to her own sons, which says that the image of the group is more important. Hear this now. Those kind of horrible acts don't happen in this group. That's what mommy says. So mommy berates little Bobby for trying to spoil the group's image by this so-called false accusation. Bobby then tries to rationalize what happened and starts blaming himself for Uncle Ned's act of violence. Hear this. He then buries his hurt, violated feelings deep within, feelings never die. Yes, Carol Truman says in her book, feelings very live, never die. Oh, yeah. Anytime you hurt the child within, you're only asking to be punished for that later. Mm-hmm. Little Bobby has now learned to hide his feelings and hide his hurt. He has to internalize that his feelings are not important. Only the cultural norm of the group is important. And that he is a bad boy for thinking otherwise. Bobby feels that he has to conform or be singled out as the bad one with all the negative ramifications that follow that kind of decision. Bobby will only do and have that which is accepted by the group. His name, his choice of a religion, his friends, and his relationships have to reflect acceptance by the group. His fashions, political affiliations, how he raises his children, his general view of the world also will reflect what is acceptable by the group, reflecting the group's accepted norms. He only lives through the eyes and mind of the group. How does that feel? Does that sound familiar in some of y'all's past experiences? Here's another reflective story. Now, some of y'all, you know, can understand what I'm really saying here. Yeah. Hear this. The following are fictional names for, you know, real historical occurrence. During the colonial period in what I call the country Wajumbe, that sounds good, the Idiotites and other groups acted on an idea of control, domination, and stealing of resources. You know, well, to make it real clear, I'm really talking about Africa. All right, make it real clear here. They witnessed tribal feuding and class distinctions among the various regions. They decided to exploit this confusion and manipulate the situation to suit their needs. That's what the Europeans did. They offered arms to one side so that they could easily dominate the other side. Yeah, arms one to one. Yeah, to side. Yeah. So we'll call the dominating side Tribe A and weaker side Tribe B. Joe, we'll call him, representing Tribe A, worked with the foreigners and exchanged access to their land for artillery. All right? Now, Tribe A, all right, thought that they would always be protected and favored by their new European friends. They killed and took captives from Tribe B, thinking that their dominating position would last forever. Tribe B took notice of what the foreigners were really doing and always were distrustful of their activities and real intentions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The mentalities of Joe from Tribe A and it's called Larry from Tribe B were juxtaposed to one another. Both sides had experienced pain and suffering from the continued fighting. Joe decided to reduce, not eliminate, pain and suffering by completely dishonoring the needs of his inner child, his soul, and submitting to the mindset of his new seemingly foreign friend with the gift of guns. That's what he did. Joe's tribe went beyond this point and tried their best to emulate the mind of this new partner. Okay, house in the field. Y'all get this? This they did in hopes of gaining the highest approval and thus a favorite position in the mind of their new ally. Joe tried to completely die to himself and relive as something other than himself to have favor and better treatment. Anything that the foreigners liked, he liked. Oh, yeah, for sure. Anything that the foreigners hated, he hated. Anything that the foreigners possessed, he in his mind possessed. If the foreigners were threatened by members of Tribe B, Joe would say, "Hey, boss, we won't let anything happen to us. Don't you worry." Yeah. If the foreigners had a plan to capture some tribe members from side B, Joe would say, "Yes, we need some more workers, slaves, to make life easy for us." Now, if the foreign force would say, "Those captured tribe B members are getting out of line and not working hard enough in the fields," Joe would say, "Well, boss, punish them until they get the message that we are in charge and not them." Joe's tribe would never think about challenging the accepted standards of the foreigner's slave culture. He had to be a promoter of it or suffer the consequences of being labeled a rebel, an agitator, or a troublemaker. Now, Larry, Tribe B, here we go, adopted a completely different mindset. Tribe B never gave up on their dream of freedom. They witnessed the most heinous crimes against their people, with rapes by foreign forces along with other catastrophic personal violations. They also witnessed their children and other family members taken at random, many murders, and total disregard for their humanity. Now, even with all of this unimaginable tragedy, the Tribe B kept their dream of freedom alive and fought for it continually. They honored their inner child and died honoring their soul within. When Joe would say, "Boss, our house is on fire and we've got to put it out. I'll get some water, boss, and I'll save our house," Larry would say, "I hope there will be a strong wind to help burn the foreign forces' house down and all those in it." See, Larry had viable self-esteem and would not betray his inner child that demands respect. Because of the betrayals, kidnappings, murder, enslavements, rapes, and exploitation, members from Tribe B were not at that point of forgiving and honoring of the human spirit in everyone. The feelings of anger, hatred, and revenge were dominant, and this was evident in their behavior. They had been abused for so long that the only thoughts dominating their minds was revenge and freedom. Now, so you see, deep in our subconscious and our DNA, we have this need to be acceptable to the group. Conformity seems to be an accepted cultural norm in all cultures. Far too many of us favor the mindset of Joe the Larry. It is when inner conflicts arise that demand responses other than what the group's standards dictate. It is during these times that choices are made. Do I suppress my inner urge to be true to myself? Do I punish my child self like I was punished for expressing myself? Here it is now. Do I accept depression as my lot in life because the group standard says that to suffer now is to be rewarded later? Well, we've heard that before. Do I accept conformity in a slave-master relationship because to not make waves is to be admired and loved? Do I accept the group standards? The group standards belief system that says it is more important that the group appears loving and happy than the condition and pain of my inner child. Yeah, a lot of questions to ask ourselves, huh? What are you thinking right now about this? I'd love to hear your responses. Now, these are some serious questions we need to ask ourselves. You're probably saying to yourself, "Oh my God, I have dealt with these questions, but I didn't know how to label them. I just had uneasy feelings that never got resolved growing up." This is why everyone at some point in their life needs to understand that their inner child's needs are more important than the group's standards. Let me say it again. This is why everyone at some point in their life needs to understand that their inner child's needs are more important than the group's standards. The inner child's needs have to supersede everything and everyone else in order for you to be a whole, emotionally healthy person. And this is what you're going to pass on to your little ones. Yeah, are you getting it now? Yeah, for sure. I'm telling you, this is gold. This is gold. I wish I had this. You know, for those of you who have children, you're in a great you have a great opportunity right now to pass this on. Yeah, pass this on to them. Let them experience freedom now. Okay? Yeah. The level of your self-esteem also affects your communication with others. Those who have a low self-esteem often view and perceive their world differently than those who possess a high level of self-esteem. Yeah. Those with challenged self-esteem are inclined to be more defensive or sensitive. They're generally quicker to think that they are being attacked, talked down to, ignored, disrespected, and or slighted in some way or another. Some of them even have that on their mind when they are with people or just out in the public. They're carrying this. Isn't this something? What a burden to carry around with you. It is like they are looking for someone that, in their mind, is finding fault with them in some way. Some appear to be picking a fight. You see this kind of personality at public high schools when classes end and students are coming out waiting for the bus. The rides are just hanging out. A high self-esteem person may talk or write to a low self-esteem person about a personal matter. The low self-esteem person will generally misinterpret, misunderstand, and or completely miss the point and intention of the other person. The low esteem one will think that they are being criticized and or attacked when that wasn't the intention at all of the other party. They'll only see words or hear words that they feel are the criticizing ones and leave out all the rest. They got these filters on. They won't see the whole letter or conversation in the proper context. Before they open the letter or before the other person begins to speak to them, they are armed for a fight. You know something? Like the law of attraction states, what they think about, they bring about. Yeah, isn't that something? This is important. This is really something. All right, I got an example here. Ramon and Sam, okay? If you hear yourself in this or somebody you know in this. Okay, let's take Ramon. The high self-esteem person and his friend, Sam. The challenged self-esteem person, okay? Got that? All right. Now, Ramon and Sam have been friends for a short while, working in the same grocery store for the past 6 months. Both Ramon and Sam have a high school education and loving parents who support them. Ramon has always been self-motivated and is always looking for opportunities for growth, development, and an upward move in his career and general pursuits. Sam, on the other hand, is content with conforming with the crowd and letting life happen and dealing with issues as they present themselves. Now, when Sam notices people who demonstrate joy, happiness, and optimism, he looks at them, scours his face, and says to himself or others around him, "What is wrong with that one? He must be smoking something." He will laugh to himself or laugh out loud at them. Yeah. Sam does not believe in optimism. Nah. He thinks everybody has some sort of agenda and that he has to be guarded of the time. He does not think too highly of himself and does not see himself in any kind of elevated position with authority over anyone or having a lot of responsibility. If you ask him what he thinks of himself, he might say he is just another leaf in the wind or just another squirrel trying to get his nut. When asked if he wants to move up in his position at the store, he says, "And why should I change now? After being here steady for 6 months, I'll stay right here, make no waves, take my steady paycheck every 2 weeks, and be content. The job is easy. Just cleaning up the store, packing and unpacking goods. Why should I think about anything else?" That kind of disposition is easy, convenient, and conforms to the general group that is around. That mentality represents the group esteem or accepted standards and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sam and Ramon have been getting along on the job pretty well, though Sam thinks that Ramon is a bit weird. When Ramon is not around, Sam has something to laugh about with his other friends, and that makes for good entertainment for the group. Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Oh, by the way, I can take a real quick break. I think we have a sponsor on. Yeah, I might have a few announcements here. That sounds great, huh? All right, just 1 second. Right back. Okay, we're back. All right. Very good, very good. Now, I was talking about Sam and Ramon, okay? All right. Now, you know, Sam, you know, thinks that Ramon is a little weird. Ramon noticed an opportunity on the announcement board for an opening in the bakery department, and he thought about Sam. Sam told him they liked baking things at home. He thought about becoming a baker. How about that? Ramon talked to the boss and the bakers that presently worked there. He found out that the position paid more than Sam's basic janitorial position. The boss is also looking for someone within the store that wanted to move up in the ranks. How about that? Whoa, sounds great. Sounds wonderful. Ramon wasn't interested in that job because he already had a scholarship waiting for him at a nearby culinary institute. He just had to wait another 3 months before that school would be ready for him. He already has targeted a major restaurant that he envisions himself working for soon after he graduates. Oh, check this out. Yeah. He has gone into that restaurant often just to sit in there and get a feel of the place. He noticed how the staff treated one another. He also noticed how they treated the customers and how the customers responded to them. He witnessed the customers' faces as they finished their meal and how they thanked their waiter or waitress for the fine service they received. He noticed how clean and neat the restaurant was, how the staff was dressed, and how artistically the restaurant was designed. He visualizes himself working there. He sees himself fitting right in and contributing to the high standard of the restaurant. He sees himself being a team player with an opportunity for advancement. He has no problem working as a janitor at the grocery store, for he knows every opportunity to perform excellently is a transferable skill that will serve his needs. All right, that's Ramon. Ramon, having a high self-esteem, thought that Sam would also see this as an opportunity, be appreciative of the tip, and jump on it. Yes, jump on it. He would be delighted to see his friend get a wonderful break like this. Oh, yes. He would feel a sense of happiness from his happiness. Ramon excitedly tells Sam what he discovered. He says, "Hey, Sam, some time ago you told me that you were interested in becoming a baker someday. Well, hey, check this out. The bakery department will have an entry-level opening soon, and the boss wants the position to be filled from within. I know you can do the job. Oh, yes. You have the ambition, self-determination, multitask orientation, motivation to excel from within. a love for the work, and an optimistic personality. I know you don't want to do this kind of work forever. I know you don't see yourself being a janitor all your life. I know you don't. I know you want to move up, make more money, and have an opportunity for growth. I can see you fulfilling your dreams of being a top-notch baker with your own bakery someday and plenty of employees under you. Look, I even talked to the current baker about the job. He told me that the job was a piece of cake. I grabbed the application for you. What do you think, man? Isn't this great? Well, Sam couldn't believe what he was hearing. He looked quite puzzled at Ramon the whole time of his conversation, waited patiently until he finished talking. When Ramon finished, he responded, "In the world are you doing, Ramon? Where do you get off telling me what I should or should not be doing with my life, huh? I never told you that I wanted to be a baker. I was just messing around with you then. Yeah, I enjoyed that a little bit of baking at the house, but that was as far as that went. What is wrong with me the way I am anyway? I am fine being a janitor here. I know what to expect. I'm getting paid every 2 weeks. I don't have any stress or responsibilities or major expectations from anybody. Who do you think you are anyway? You come up here all bubbly, big eye, and think I'm going to just jump and dance to your song, hmm? Do you see anybody here acting the way you do? No one likes you. Everybody else here minds their own business, does their own job, and doesn't try to make changes for anyone or be what they are not. No one should try to change anyone. You need to accept people right where they are and not where you want them to be. You think you're better than us, don't you? Bouncing around here, smiling at all the customers, talking to other staff members and helping others when you aren't even asked to. You're no better than us. I don't know why you act the way you do. You need to check yourself, man. Get in line. Act like the rest of us so people won't think you're crazy. Me working at the bakery department, ha! As far as all the characteristics you mentioned, you must not know me too well. I don't fit any of those things. You must be out of your mind. Well, Ramon was floored. As he walked back out to put the application back where it came from, he felt quite disappointed in his so-called friend. He, being a high achiever, sees the world around him optimistically. He sees opportunity, not rejection. Positive probabilities, not negative consequences. The best in people, not the negative agenda. The love, not the bitterness, and the empathy and compassion for others, not the suspicions and mistrust. See, your self-esteem affects your senses. Did you know that? It is like wearing colored glasses. The high self-esteem person is wearing the blue glasses, and the low self-esteem person is wearing the green glasses. It won't matter how logical and intelligent the first party is toward the second party. The second party is always going to view their world through those green glasses. That's what they have chosen to put on, either consciously or unconsciously. There is no real communication between these two until they have on the same colored glasses. Your hearing, touch, and smell are also affected. The low self-esteem person will hear the worst, feel the worst, and smell the worst. The high self-esteem person will hear the best, feel the best, and smell the best because they are looking for the best in everything. You experience the way you want to experience or the manner you have been conditioned to experience. Isn't this a finding to pass on to your little ones? Yeah. Just think how good you feel with this. Imagine them. Oh, man, this is great. This is why we're doing this. It's why this is entitled Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Yeah, for sure. See, the standards that we were conditioned to accept as we were growing up don't have to be a permanent part of our life. Did you hear that? It don't. I don't care what your parents did, what their parents did. You don't have to make it a permanent part of your life and your household. As we mature in our emotionality and spirituality, We can make conscious choices about how we want our life to unfold. We can reset our internal thermostat to whatever we choose for ourselves. If those old traditional standards worked for your parents, then that is great for them. It doesn't mean, however, that they will work for you. You might need to change your belief system, your religion, your self-talk, friends, habits, recreational activities, environment, what you allow into your consciousness, such as contrary messages from radio, television, music, and social conversations. You know, there goes television. Oh boy, all the reality shows these days. You know, there are some few good stations there, but you really got to filter that stuff. It's all over, everywhere. You know, yeah. When you feel better knowing that you have set yourself in a position to receive better, how would your life unfold for you knowing that you are consciously going to use the law of attraction to attract the best elements, energy, opportunities, and resources toward you? Yeah. Now, these are some benefits of having high self-esteem. And that's a problem with most of us. We compromise that, you know, because of conditioning. You know, you can reprogram yourself and recondition yourself. That's what I'm talking about here. I gave a lot of examples here. A lot of examples. You know? Yeah. And the whole idea in this book, Reconnected, there are a lot of family examples, whole lot of examples, and I want you to identify with one of these, you know, or more, and see yourself, and you can actually see what you can change to make the lasting difference in your life. Yeah, and pass it on to your little ones, into your own life, your married life. Yeah, a life all around, okay? All right, I'm going to give you another family story. Okay, I got a lot of stories here. Got Megan's family. Okay, Mary Ann and Stephen, the other parents, I guess, yeah, had no idea what self-esteem was, so the importance of building up their kids from the inside out was never in their consciousness. The observing parent will know this as they see their child developing. Our children teach us how to parent them if we just watch and listen. Yeah. Please don't have the attitude that, you know, you're a big and bad parent on a pedestal and your children are lowly down there somewhere. No. Don't do that. Your children teach you a lot. Just be open for the lesson. Yeah, Megan, okay, talk about her. Being the sensitive one in the family needed more special attention. She always had an artistic mind and spirit. An artist has to be really sensitive to pick up certain signals that the universe is emitting. I know that well. Being a painter, she saw images that others never witnessed. She picked up energy levels from people that were so apparent to her. This is probably why when she was studying communication and listening skills as she became an adult, the subject of empathy was so dear to her. To be able and willing to enter another's personal space and feel what they are feeling is not what many people are interested in pursuing, especially these days. Nevertheless, it is this journey that is necessary to bridge communication gaps and create real bonding. Megan's self-esteem was very, very low, in her childhood and adolescence. It almost caused her terminal end. Instead of being built up, she got the put downs. In the very beginning, in the womb, she received the love from her mother and the hate from her sister. Upon leaving the womb, she received the master-slave relationship that her sister initiated. By not getting the support she needed from her mother to offset the dominance her sister had with her, she felt her mother was in on it with her, thus feeling, in a sense, abandoned. She just trudged along day by day, hoping her sister would just ease up and leave her alone. Man, Megan was very comfortable watching television by herself or playing by herself, not wanting to join with anyone. She was very isolated and was content with that. People in general bothered her, and she was always thinking about activities she could do all by herself. She accepted her solitude. As different emotionality abuse events took place with her sister, she built up more anger and resentment toward her. She thought to herself, although I don't have any self-worth and life has no real meaning for me, I don't deserve this kind of treatment. And she dreamed of various ways she would get back at her. Yeah. Once around the age of 8, she had enough of her ridiculing and she grabbed a pair of scissors. And she waited for Heather to return to her bedroom. Megan had consciously accepted responsibility for Heather's death and saw herself plunging those scissors into her body when she appeared in the doorway. Her heart was racing. Her palms were moist. She held a staunch position, ready to lunge forward. She was through and ready to end Heather's life and her internal pain. But she didn't come back in. She remembers taking quite a while to relax as she lay back in her bed to calm down after that. They stayed in the same room. She reflects, what an awful experience this was. Wow, can you imagine that? Growing up in rural El Dorado didn't have its rewards. Due to the old archaic country ways, which were a natural part of the culture at that time, Megan thought about freedom and independence. She knew that there was more to life than what was depicted in her immediate surroundings. When her mother took them out for monthly dinner outings and concerts in Wichita, she got a glimpse of options that were available. She noticed art galleries, murals that were displayed in the Civic Center, and pictures hanging in restaurants. She wondered and dreamed about the possibilities for her art being displayed one day. Yeah. Soon after those thoughts came the negative voices of her sister and the laughs of her mother. Yeah, all that came in. Her positive bubble was busted again as she heard those B-rating statements from her sister. What makes you think that you can do anything? You're just a weed. Don't even think about what you see other people do and think you can do those things. Those things are not for you. Those things will only be a dream for you. You can only sit and grow, just like the weeds, and be controlled. That's all you will ever do. Well, those voices kept ringing in Megan's head as she sank down in her familiar sadness. Megan's immediate environment certainly did not help matters much. That kind of upbringing is a breeding ground for a serious dysfunction on one level or another. Now, I know there are some parents that just naturally build up everyone they meet. They're always a joy to be around. They are known as angels, and they bring warmth and compassion everywhere they go. These are the rare souls here on earth. And when you experience these angels, you never forget it. Oh, yeah. I had that experience when I was in the Bay Area. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This is something, right? All right, now, let's talk about self-appreciation a little bit. It is important to mention self-appreciation as it coincides with your self-esteem. There is a higher self in all of us that is always working on our behalf, whether we are conscious of it or not. This is the self that God breathed into us as we were developing in the womb. Yeah. This is the part of us that is divine and the same self that will go on after we leave this life. Oh, yeah. This is the self that was with God before this earthly experience and will return back to God after this experience. It is this self that needs our appreciation. Oh, yes. This is also the same self that should be focused on when we say, just believe in yourself. Many of us don't think about this self in this way, and that is why we have more dark experiences when we subscribe to this saying without using the proper context as we refer to the self. Example, I mentioned this in other parts, Celia. When we say just believe in yourself without any qualifying statements, which self are you talking about? The lower self or higher self? We're so used to the lower self, we don't think about it. We do have a higher self that gets neglected all the time because we're not used to being there. Again, because of conditioning. But we can go there anytime we want to and stay there. Our intuition and premonitions are all connected to this higher self. When we have hunches about some ideas or directions in our lives, we need to wonder where those hunches came from. When we know these facts and consciously bear witness to these realities, we naturally desire to give more appreciation for this self. The same self nudges you to feel good, to laugh, to get excited, to have fun, and to experience love. It feels good to feel good, doesn't it? Yeah. When you feel good, you raise the vibrations of your energy field. When your energy field has elevated vibrations, you start to see goals come closer to you and healing states manifest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I have experienced being sick with a cold, I have mentally imagined myself jumping on my trampoline, laughing at some episode on comedy on TV. Didn't matter how the cold was affecting my energy levels and physical disposition. I imagined myself in a completely different situation. When I felt better through my imagination, the effects from the cold started diminishing. When you feel good, the finish line comes closer and closer to you. When we dwell in this higher self, yeah, we get in touch with more of our possibilities. Yeah. I was watching a Twilight Zone today. You know, this big marathon on TV, Twilight Zone. And Rod Sterling, you know, the creator, he was probably from the future. But, you know, one clear theme that is throughout his episodes are possibilities. Possibilities. Yeah, he was a futurist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the field of energy medicine, y'all know about that? Energy medicine. This idea is emphasized. Practitioners in these fields, such as Reiki, quantum biofeedback, matrix energetics, body talk, polarity, craniosacral, reconnection techniques, and others, tell you to go to that part of you which is divine. Y'all heard about those things before? Look them up. Yeah. Relax. And let the conscious mind go and allow the higher self to take over and redirect your energy toward that which is healing, whole, and aligned. Some might call it the heart space or third eye, but it all comes back to that special part of you that has the capacity for miracles and life transformations. This is why we should consciously appreciate this part of ourselves. Yeah, some of us are not familiar with these things. Oh, yeah, I've gone to Matrix Energetics workshops before. Oh, yeah, go there. MatrixEnergetics.com. Go to YouTube, put Matrix Energetics in there and just see possibilities. Yeah, I've seen miracles happen right before my eyes. Yeah, just check it out. Mm-hmm. Another aspect of self-appreciation is to notice the positive traits you now possess. Make a list of all the good in you. A lot of us never think about that. We always talk about the aches and pains and problems and complaints and somebody doing you wrong, you know, all that. How about making a list of all the good that you have? Your energy focuses on something else. Are you compassionate? Are you considerate? Are you loving to yourself? Are you loving to others? Do you demonstrate being human on a daily basis? Do you see beauty everywhere you go? Are you one to show appreciation to others? Are you one to show appreciation to God consistently? Very important. Are you trustworthy? Are you dependable? Are you a responsible person? Are you a reasonable person? Are you a productive person? Do you laugh and enjoy life? Very important. Do you share and receive openly? Do you do that? See, we all possess many good traits that we sometimes overlook as we allow the negative circumstances to become our dominant vibration. What are you thinking about right now? What's the dominant thought in your mind going on right now? Yeah. Well, that's what you focus on. That's how your body reacts in response. What you focus on, you promote. You are ruled by your dominant thought. You are what you think about. You attract more of what you allow to sit in your mental pilot seat. Yeah. Yeah. We have so much good in us. And when we can bring it out on a daily basis, pray on it, meditate on it, make and say affirmations on it, and make it our dominant vibration, we will see our lives transform. It become a beacon of light for others. Man, I hope y'all got that. I was talking about self-esteem, you know, and why it's very important for us to have elevated self-esteem and then have something you can pass on. We're not created to hoard the knowledge, hoard the information, hoard anything. Once you get it for yourself and you start seeing your life improve, you're supposed to pass it on to others, share it with others. And parents, this is an excellent thing to pass on to your children. Yeah, we talk about presents and birthday presents and, you know, Eid presents, you know, different kind of holiday presents. How about a present of a high personal growth? Yeah. Teaching your children what freedom really means, what spirituality really means, what connected to God really means for them personally. Yeah, so they can pass it on to their loved ones when they get old enough. You see? Yeah, see, we're on the wrong channel too many times, brothers and sisters. On the wrong channel. If you're on the channel of pessimism, criticism, self-hate, you're going to operate from those attributes, from those vibrations. That's what you're going to do. We tune to the channel of optimism. Yeah, yeah. God loving you. You being worthy to receive the greatness that God has for you. You receive that. You see? Yeah. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be miserable. So please, for this new year, claim, internalize the best in your life. Tell yourself you're worthy of the best and you will receive the best. And see yourself receiving the best. That's how it works. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're going to end right here. By the way, we have a new time here. Blog Talk made some changes. And so we're on like 6:30 Eastern Standard Time instead of 7 going to 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. You see, it's a little different now. So I'm about to end, but I want to make sure everybody understands where I'm coming from. I'm Nazim Abdul Rashid. The book is Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Okay? Yeah, very important to get this. Get this. I've been reading and expounding and kind of expanding from this book. The chapters and the steps are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication, listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions, 12 principles of recovery, identifying and managing emotions, how to be a mentor to the child self, your child self. That's the younger self. That's what I'm talking about. You can make changes in the past. You change the feelings of what you went through in the past. We have to reconcile the past in order to have a bright present and a bright future. We can do this. That we can have good marriages, good parenting skills, you know, and just be a good person all around. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So next we will talk. We'll be in part three. of conscious parenting and personal growth, and we'll talk about visualization. We need to have new eyes, new vision, new visions for ourselves. Yeah, the visions in our past have not benefited us, so we got to change up. Okay. Now, my website, cloudsofabundance.com, cloudsofabundance.com. You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Our show on Saturdays called The Reconnected Show. You can just call in at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time at 347-994-2524. That's 347-994-2524. The website, blog talk radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Okay, you'll be right there, okay? Get my website, cloudsofabundance.com. I just updated that one today. All right, so Nazim Abdul-Rashid, I'll end where I started with blessings that only God can be with you. The greetings of peace for the new year, all right, in your life. Assalamu alaikum.